Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day Sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
I never been picked. I was like one of those sad black kids that was always feeling like the victim. Like, why won't the world pick me? And then one day I decided to pick myself.
I've watched you have opinions of people you know.
Drake the type of nigga that get mad at you for saying something about him and DM your wife.
And then Ray Daniels come and he said, yo, I got something to say.
I'm not telling you what you want to hear.
The music doesn't matter.
They call Juicy J and Wiz Khalifa. They come get on the record. Miley Cyrus is smoking weed. Nigga dancing on the couches. Nigga, I'm like,
who is Ray Daniels, though? You go viral. We see you everywhere. Who's Ray Daniels?
I am a storyteller for those of us who have been rejected by our community.
What is the biggest money lesson you've learned? And what is the biggest money mistake that you've made?
Hey, wait. I know you want to watch this next video, but listen, if you are an entrepreneur, business coach, business consultant, or a small business owner who has a story and wants to learn how to create multiple streams of income from your story, I need you to text me right now, my book, to 646-687-4152. That is my personal number. I have been an author for over 12 years. I've written 10 books. Four of them have been bestsellers, and I've sold over 100,000 books. But I've also helped a lot of my clients take their expertise and put it into a story, then create multiple streams of income from that. So I want to help you do the same thing. So text my book to 646-687-4152. All right, let's go back to the video. So welcome to another awesome episode of Inside the Vault with Ash Cash, the greatest money mindset show on the planet. Listen, today on Inside the Vault, I'm sitting down with a certified architect of culture, a man who didn't just survive the music industry. He redefined how artists win inside of it from being broke in College Park. We're going to talk about that because this guy keep claiming College Park. I know him from the Bronx, but from being broke in College Park to becoming one of the most powerful executives in the game, he worked with the biggest names in music, built one of the most respected artist development platforms, and now he's giving the game away like never before. He's the founder of Radar, the host of many shows, including The God Show, and he has a powerful concept called the artist agreements, and it teaches you how to win big in the music industry. This is a conversation for anyone who's ever had a dream, and especially for those who are trying to navigate the music business without selling their souls. Ladies and gentlemen, the mogul maker himself, my brother, Ray Daniels or something.
This is dope watching you at work.
Yes, sir.
We've been around each other 100 times. Yes, I've just never seen Inside the Vault.
Yes, sir.
Watching you, that was amazing.
I appreciate you, brother.
That means a lot.
It's like watching, it's like for people at home, yeah, it's like watching someone go from like, all right, cool, to action.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Incredible.
Yes, sir. No, I appreciate that, brother. And it means a lot, though, because, you know, we are both media personalities,
yes,
you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And, you know, like you said, so like for me, Inside the Vault, Ash, is high energy, like, you know, I always want to, especially in my intro, I always want to make people understand the type of person I'm interviewing.
Yeah.
And it's funny, and this is why I joked about you being for the Bronx, because when I first, I think it was Sean Prez, when I first just figured who you are, you didn't have the God Show yet.
Yes.
I saw you on an interview with Sean Prez. He was doing a podcast. On Zoom. And I was listening to you. I said, yo, I like this dude.
Thank you, bro.
I like this dude, and you was talking real. You're a natural star. You're a natural, a mogul. You could tell your business acumen was there. And I'm telling you, on the Sean Press joint, I'm going to pull it up.
Tell me.
On the Sean Press joint, you said you was from the Bronx. And I was like, yes, I knew I liked this guy. Did he start popping? Then all of a sudden, he's from College Park. I said, hold on, Ray, talk to us.
Okay, so let me clear it up, because I do say I'm from New York.
Okay.
I was born there. And it, man, like, New York set the tone.
Yeah.
For who I became in Atlanta, because as you know, New York is pace.
Facts. Yeah.
And it's Southern hospitality. We take our time, we sit back, we relax. And when I decided to jump off the porch, that New York mentality that I knew came out of me. But it's hard claiming a place that you can't really pinpoint someone that can say you're there. So, for example, which block you from? Where you from in New York?
129th Eighth Avenue,
St. Nick. If I go to 129th and St. Nick,
yeah,
and I walk into your hood and I'm like, I know Ash Cash.
Oh, yeah, you good.
That's my point.
Yeah,
if you go to Patterson Projects and say, I know Ray Daniels, they're going to be like, who is that? But if you go to College Park and you say, I know Ray Daniels, they're going to be like, you good.
Copy.
And that's why I claim it. But I did on that interview say I was from New York, because we were talking about my origins.
Yeah.
When we talk about who I am today, yeah, I say Atlanta. But if you talk about my origins, I'm never going to discredit New York, because it made me.
Yeah, yeah. And you New York in your soul, though. You know what I'm saying? I say you New York. Well, it's like T.I.C., right? And he might, I don't know if he'll be upset that I say this, but a lot of times when I listen to T.I., you can tell he's New York influenced. King of the South, and I get it. By the way,
that's a New York thing to do.
Right.
Say I'm King of the South.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's what we're saying in New York would do. Yeah.
So when I, and that same thing with T.I. When I first heard him, I said, I like this dude.
Yeah, yeah.
And then later on, when I found out he spent summers up top,
yeah,
I said,
yeah, but he, the one thing I will say is, just not Atlanta, but just leaving your hometown to go to other places is always great, because you get a chance to see how other people do it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So, I mean, I, New York has influenced the entire country for so long that I just want to give College Park something to be proud of.
Not 1,000%. And the one thing I will say, though, about New York is New York needs to be more inviting to others.
Yes.
Because I think I live in Atlanta. I love Atlanta.
For sure.
You know what I'm saying? Love the South.
Love it.
Love it, right? But obviously, you know what I'm saying? There's been times, everybody always talk about how New Yorkers think about the South, how they speak about the South and things of that nature. And I don't like that New York gets that rap.
You know, I'm glad we talking about that too, because I think that is an older thought process.
I agree.
But it's still there.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So I said about, you know, like yin yang not getting this respect, and a lot of people in New York was like pissed because why are you painting that on New York? And what I was trying to say is that, yeah, today Little Baby gets respect like without having to say the South got something to say.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Back.
But there was a point in time where you didn't get respect unless you said the South got something to say.
Yeah.
So I was just trying to clarify, you know, like the perspective that I'm coming from. You know, a lot of people try to make it something else. And it's like, nah, bro, like I like being from the South.
Yeah.
I like the comparison. I like having the New York and the South thing. I like when we was in New York, we used to run from the motherfucker. Like, it was like anything happened, you running, like, and you got to the South, everybody's waving. Hey, you doing it? It was just the living in New York made me appreciate the South at such a high level.
Yeah.
Cause it was like, in New York, it is the concrete jungle, because you are, and what I mean by the jungle is that you are working 24/7, 365, and you don't even escape it.
That's a fact.
In Atlanta, we have an escape. You could come to the city, get your money, and drive outside of the perimeter and live great. So,
Yeah. So I want to start here, though, bro.
Let's go.
Like, again, from the very first time that I saw, you know, you on that, you know, on that episode.
Shout out Sean Prez, too, by the way.
Yeah, shout out to Sean Prez. Like, you have done phenomenal in creating or just giving yourself to the world, you know, as a mogul, as a businessman, as a talking head. Like your rise has been so dope. And the funny thing about it is we haven't seen this in a while, though. And I don't know if people are gonna realize this, right? Like, there was once upon a time, there were moguls that we wanted to hear their opinion. We wanted to see what they're saying. Like, we wanted to see, regardless of what you say about Dame, we wanted to listen to Dame. We
wanted to.
L.A. Reid.
Still do.
You know what I'm saying? Like the people who were the movers and shakers in the industry, we wanted to hear what they thought, right?
Exactly.
And it almost felt like we were losing that a little bit.
Yeah.
And then Ray Daniels come, and he said, yo, I got something to say, right? Who is Ray Daniels, though, man? Like, could we see you? You go viral. We see you everywhere. Who's Ray Daniels?
By the way, Ash, you're great at this.
I appreciate you.
It's funny because we're really friends. But he's asked me these questions. I'm like, damn, that's a good question, brother. Like,
yes,
you know what? I'm someone who has, I am a storyteller for those of us who have been rejected by our community.
Mm.
I share stories about the blueprint of progress for my community by teaching people how to live a lifestyle of seeking, being accountable, and being disciplined so that we can all get what God wants for us. Mm. That is who I am as a man, holistically. That is my becoming statement as a man. So that's who I am. I'm here to tell stories to people who felt like the world didn't see them.
Mm.
I'm here to talk to you, the people that felt like, you know, I don't know about you, Ash, but like, because you're kind of big. You're like 6'4"?
6'3".
6'3". I'm pretty sure somebody told you to play a sport, right?
1,000%.
Nobody ever told me that. I'm 5'9", right? So it's like, I never been picked.
Yeah.
Like, never been picked by even my family, mm. right? And then one day, you know, I was like one of those sad black kids that was always feeling like the victim, like, why won't the world pick me?
Yeah.
And then one day I decided to pick myself.
Mm,
yeah. And when I did that, everything in my life changed.
Mm.
And that's who I am. So what I try to do is, you know, I say a lot of crazy things, but it's really crazy to people because y'all are used to hearing one thing from a certain group of people.
Yeah, yeah.
And what I try to do is I try to say what I believe and tell people and encourage people to say what you believe.
Yeah.
Because right now, Ash Cash is a multimillionaire based on what he believes.
Yeah.
Ray Daniels is a multimillionaire based on what we believe.
Fast.
So a lot of the people don't believe in themselves or things are possible for them.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm here to tell you, I always say this, like when I went
both from the projects.
Yes, thank you, bro.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
When you was in school,
yeah.
the athletes had the coaches in them, surrounding them, protecting them, giving
yeah.
them game.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? The musically inclined kids had the teachers and the music teachers teaching them, you know, and then you had the really smart kids who had the people investing in them.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was the rest of us.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I was always a curious kid. And when you come from the projects, one thing about the projects that I love is that the projects is the realest world a child can live in.
I agree. 1,000%.
I'm talking about, bro, I'm like, I have an 8-year-old daughter.
Yeah.
I seen someone get murdered when I was 8. Right in front of me because we playing stoop ball
because
we can't go too far from the building.
Yeah, yeah.
So if people at home, you throw the ball on the steps and then run the bases in front of the building. And we was doing that. And somebody just got killed right there in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like my mom whole thing was like, don't say nothing. I'm 8.
Right.
So the one thing about the projects that it mm-hmm. shows you was that it tells you what you are.
Fact.
The projects, everybody's poor, but they laughing at the poor ones.
Yep.
Everybody might not be the smartest, but they making fun of the dumb ones. Mm-hmm. And you start realizing that, you know, like, so living in the projects was the first real world I lived in where it was like, man, don't nobody give a damn about nobody.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? You know, I'm watching people steal from each other. It's just terrible.
Yeah.
So, you know, that realization really helped me in life as I started getting older as a man. Then I started realizing in the South, remember I said, in New York, they're going to tell you to your face, right?
Yeah.
In the South, they going high and then turn their back and do that, right? It's a difference.
Yeah.
So New York being so in your face with the rejection and getting damn about who you are, it was easy for me to be in music. I'm used to people telling me to get the hell out of their face.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've been hearing that my whole life. So now music tell me get out of my face. Shit, not until you hear my song.
Right.
I promise you I'll leave when you hear my record.
Yeah. Yeah.
So for me, I'm just one of those guys where my whole mission is to show people, you know, like people that are sitting down watching this that feel like nothing is out there for me.
Yeah.
Something is for you. You just have to seek.
Yeah.
Ask yourself, what do I like? What do I enjoy?
Yeah.
You spoke about me coming up with Ray Daniels and popping up. Mm-hmm. The reason why I popped up is because I realized that the real reason why I popped up is because when I was working at my last job, two of the artists that I signed asked me to introduce them to Gary Vee. And that kind of offended me. No disrespect to Gary Vee. I think he's brilliant. But I'm like, what the hell you think he going to tell you that I can't tell?
Right.
But it was like, it wasn't what he was going to tell them.
Yeah.
It was that they felt like he cared. So then I start thinking, I'm like, man, if Gary Vee ran a record label, if they made Gary Vee president or CEO of a label, how many artists do you think are going to line up to be signed to Gary Vee's label? So you're looking at the black version of that.
Right.
Because I know music better than that. So that's why I started talking. I was like, man, like, let me build some trust in the community because most executives are snaky.
Right.
Most exec, you know, they say, what do you say? Record,
industry rule number 4,080.
Record company people are shady. Yeah. That's not a lie.
Yeah.
But they're not, it's not that they're shady. Yeah. They're just like crack dealers.
Right.
Nigga, I'm trying to sell the crack right now. Like, they don't want to buy Ash Cash. You got to go. I don't even care about you no more. Facts. They buying Ray. I'm Facts. Selling him. Facts. That's the mute. That's any business. Yeah. But when it's people,
yeah.
When you told Ash Cash, I'm leaving you.
Yeah.
And then you turn your back and say, send them home. That's what get people hurt. So for me, I just wanted to bring a new perspective to this industry talk. And what I realized as I started speaking that people were drawn to me because they could tell it was real.
Facts, yeah, yeah.
And it's like, dog, like, it's like, I'm not telling you what you want to hear. Yeah. That's not what I'm here. Like, I'm like,
and let's talk about that a little bit because, like, I've watched you have opinions of people you know.
Yes.
And you have not been afraid to say what you feel about people you know. How does that, does that put strains on relationships? Like, how does that work when you have an opinion and you're like, this is what I believe and I'm not going to steer you the wrong way. I'm going to tell you the truth, whether you agree with it or not. How's that, you know?
Well, it's two parts of that. Number one, I'll say it to your face.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I was known in the business for being the outspoken one.
Yeah, yeah.
We would go into to A&R meetings and L.A. Reid would pull me to the side and be like, turn the meeting up to that. Because I would always say, like, I just spoke like myself. Like, I remember vividly my first A&R meeting. I'm working with L.A. L.A. Reid is God to me. Mm. And I've been trying for 24 months to get in the room to work for this man.
Yeah.
And I'm here. And he plays an artist. And, you know, he's like excited doing his L.A. dance. And I said under my breath, can I curse a little bit? Okay. So I said, I want to respect the establishment.
It's your show, baby.
So I said, I said under my breath, you know, like, man, that nigga ain't got no more pussy. I get more pussy than him. And L.A. is, who said something? Who said that? So it's like, who said that? And I kind of, you know, everybody know me, know I got a little, so I'm like smiling. He was like, what you say, Ray? I said, I get my hoes to him. I know I do. He was like, he just bust out laughing like, nigga, did you? I said, ain't that what we measured on?
Right.
Like, when I see certain artists, I'm like, oh, I know he get more. Mm-hmm. Like, you see, you know, nigga take off his shirt. I can't do that, right? Mm-hmm. Tank on stage with his shirt off, me on stage with his shirt off. I know Tank got me,
right.
You know? But
right.
This nigga ain't got me.
Right.
That's what I was really just trying to say. And the crazy thing was that he was an artist that L.A. believed in with everything in him, and he didn't work. Mm. And L.A. was like, you was the only person in the whole company that told me you didn't like it.
Wow.
And I didn't say I didn't like it.
Right.
I think it's dope. I'm just saying, based on who I'm seeing, I get my hoes in.
Right.
That's all I was really trying to say. I'm like, maybe we need to present him better.
Right.
But I didn't like his hairstyle. Everything about him was like, mm-mm.
Yeah.
So that's how L.A. started liking me, because he was like, most people get the job and they're afraid to speak. I'm like, I'm not here for the job. I'm here to learn. So the only way you learn is if you speak.
Yeah.
The only way you learn is if you ask the question. So I was just, it's crazy because you set this up so ill when you was talking. I never went, and this is honest God truth, and this is probably embarrassing to say, I never had the confidence in myself that I could be one of them. Mm. I just wanted them to respect me as one of them so I can figure it out. Mm. But what I figured out was that I was the only person thinking like that. Right. So I got to this point maybe like 6-7 years ago where I would be talking and my peers would be looking at me like you are. Like, how the hell you know that?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I can understand why you're looking at me, because you're not in the music business. Mm-hmm. But they were looking at me like, I'm like, you don't know that? And they're like, no.
Right, right.
I'm like, oh, everybody was partying. I was seeking.
Yeah.
That's why I say you have to be a seeker to win in life. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, life, listen, I don't care where you are. You could be a homeless person living on the street. If you seek, if you pay attention to what's going on around you, you can turn your life around.
Yeah, 1,000%.
You just got to pay attention to what's happening. And most of us aren't. We're just so busy complaining about what's happening.
Yeah.
I don't complain about it, whether it's good or bad.
Yeah.
If I want a chicken, you want a chicken, she pick you, I don't look at you like I'm hating on you. I'm like, what he got that I ain't got? What is he doing that I'm not doing? I don't look at it like, man, she only like him because he's tall and dark. And it's like, nigga, everybody breaks rules for everybody. You just got to figure out your rule, the reason to break a rule.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what the music business is built on. It's built on figuring out rules to break to introduce someone new to the room, right? Where it's like, they don't do that. Well, we're going to do that.
Yeah.
Right now, we don't have a little 14-year-old kid, white kid, singing R&B. So, well, it's cool. We're going to introduce Justin Bieber. And now we do.
Right.
And now it's not that rare. Yeah. So the music business is all about figuring out a way to introduce someone. And when I realized that No one was thinking about that but me.
Yeah.
I was like, and then I went to my next job. I kill it. I'm the number one guy there.
Yeah.
'Cause in my mind, Ash, I'm looking at it like sports. Like, I don't care how, I don't care what you say about Michael Jordan and his attitude off the court, how serious he is or his gambling problem. The nigga won.
Yeah, facts.
And that's how I always thought the world worked. Yeah. If you win, but what I realized is that it doesn't matter if you win. I was the best guy at my company. I just rubbed them the wrong way because I spoke up.
Yeah.
So they're losing now.
Right.
They ain't had a hit as big as Sweetie Best Friend since I'm gone. Like, she ain't had a bigger hit than that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, y'all need me right now.
Facts.
But y'all can't get it right. And you know why? Because y'all thought anybody with a black face that says, "What's up, bro," is going to get the job. No, yeah. Nigga, I have spent 20 fucking years of my life dedicating everything I have to learning every piece of this business, from how to make a record, to how to roll out a record, to how to manage an artist, to how everything. And you want to know why my stuff is working right now? Because all I'm doing as an artist is coaching myself as an artist. So you start off this saying, do you pay attention to it? No, because that's what I would tell an artist not to do.
Right.
Hey, bro, don't pay attention to the comments.
Mm.
Just keep pushing.
Yeah.
Hey, when you great, when you walk in the room and you great, you don't have to introduce yourself as great. They can feel it. Just be great.
Greatness is energy.
I'll tell everybody, chase greatness, because that's what money, women, the world is chasing. So if you chase it and you get close, you'll start getting in the head and look back and realize they're chasing you too. And that's what life's like for me right now.
That's a fact. And talk a little bit, because one of the things I saw, our brother Dave, man, like, you had an opinion about,
I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah.
Can I address that?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, so basically, it was a moment. It's a learning lesson. And what I tell anybody who's listening is, if you're going to decide to sit on a couch in front of a mic and talk, and you're going to keep it cute, you're not going to win.
Mm.
You're not going to win if you're not going to. You're going to have to say your opinion. The world is filled with people keeping it cute. Hey, man, you look wonderful today. Hey, you're doing great today. But they really don't believe that.
Right.
So for me, when you say you want to do this, you're going to offend people. You're going to piss people off.
Yeah.
Now, with that being said, I'm doing my show, and one of my guys brings up the Dame thing. Now, I'll admit that I didn't think about it from the friend standpoint, because I know Dame. I was talking from the position I'm in. So I basically was like, yo, look, if this is true, I'm also thinking of some 4-day laws of power stuff, right? Like, one of the laws of power is to crush your enemy totally, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm like, if this is true, he's crushed.
Right.
At that moment, it's like, all right, cool. Now we're going to step in to help him. And that's what I was saying.
Yeah.
But Dame was like, nigga, it sound like you saying that. Like, basically, he was like, nigga, it's like, I need Jay-Z's money to survive, and I don't. And I'm like, it wasn't that, but I didn't bring it up. Then he's like, you a boss. You're the boss. No, you could have told him don't bring it up, but you let him. And I was like, that's why I went wrong.
Right.
So, you know, like, I went on it. I shouldn't have spoke on it.
Yeah.
And the reason why I shouldn't have spoke on it is because I wouldn't any other time.
Right.
My guy just was like, Dame and Jay, what do you think? And I'm live, so I got to answer, right? But I don't really care.
Yeah.
So I the lesson for me was just don't talk about a man's pockets.
Yeah.
And especially if you know him.
Right.
Don't talk about him. Because the one funny part of the conversation, this was some... Because people don't know, Ash and I have in common, we are both Rockefeller stands, right?
1,000%.
So,
1,000%.
So, like, I love, like, even though Dame is on the phone and we going back and forth, I was just excited. I'm like,
it's Dame, right.
Can't believe this nigga's real.
Yeah.
Like, you think this. And he's like, and he says to me, he says, and Ray, I felt like, if you feel like Jay should help me, you should help me. And you know what I said to him? I said, I thought I was. Nigga just bust out. You thought you was. I said, Dame, I was, what do they say? If something's going bad, shine a light on it, right? That's what I was doing.
Yeah.
And he's like, he started going even crazier.
Right.
I was like, man, my bad.
Right.
But I understand what he meant.
Yeah.
And he started, and what I will say about Dame that he did teach me in that moment was, I need to learn more, look more into stuff if I know the people.
1,000.
Because he started breaking down his Dame-isms.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you never, he needs to be on inside that vault.
I interviewed Dame once.
Oh, okay. I said, nigga, if you didn't mean, so I'll set that up. You and Dame, you.
No. So I mean, we friends.
Yeah.
So I could tell you that I've been talking to Dame
because
I'm trying to write a book with Dame.
Mm.
And one of the reasons, and you can help me make it happen.
Yes,
and I've been talking to I've been talking to him and his team or whatever, so they know, right?
Yeah.
But I want to write a book with Dame because I truly believe that Dame follows business ethics, right? And I want to write a, I have the title at the cover. I'll show it to you later. It's called What Would Damon Do?
No, we have to get that done.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
It's called What Would
Damon Do? We have to get that done.
Yes,
I love that.
Yes, sir.
I only want you to expound on more, because I know you.
Yeah, 1,000.
And I know you. Oh, no. Okay, we'll turn it off camera.
Yeah,
I got you.
Covered the everything.
Let's go.
And the reason for it, though, is because, again, you know I'm Harlem guy. He's a Harlem guy. And we just follow certain rules.
Yeah.
And because we follow certain rules, we move in a certain way, which is why, and I'm not shocked that people think he's broke.
Yeah.
Because we're not explaining ourselves to nobody.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'll tell you myself, right? Like, even what I do, like, I made a lot of money in this thing.
Yeah.
And you know what I did? I fell back.
Yeah.
Not because I fell off. It's because I started lending my expertise to other people. So I've been behind the scenes. Like, I got a list of people who are popping right now that you wouldn't even know that I'm the one.
I can imagine.
You get what I'm trying to say?
I spend time with you outside of this. I already know, yeah.
I fell back. And so now I said, you know what? At this stage of my career, you know what I want to do? I want to Akon the game. I need to find Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
Nobody knew he was. They didn't.
I want to be a Lady Gaga, bro. To you,
you know
I'm telling you, I want.
They didn't know that he was behind Lady Gaga until later.
Yeah.
So now you go from your Akon is popping.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden you're like, oh, he fell. No, he didn't fall off. Mm. My man is just Lady Gaga in the game.
But not only that, you with black folk is because only people that really brags on falling off is our folk, right?
Oh, we brag on. Absolutely.
What black folk have to understand is about falling off is that in life as we get older, because remember, we don't even in the music business, there are not too many old gray black men in the business.
That's a fact. Yep.
Like once you hit your 40s in the music business, they basically like you're done.
Yeah.
Unless you're like had super success in your 20s and 30s that you could stand on.
Yeah.
Yep. But if you didn't have that, you're not. But I'm sorry.
No, we talked. So what I was saying about Dame.
No, but what I was getting to something because it was something we was talking about. It'll come back.
But what I was saying was like I understand why somebody like Dame people would say yo he broke because unfortunately
I know I was gonna go.
Yeah.
What I was gonna say is that we have to allow black folks to change positions and not be called falling off, right? So, like, Michael Jordan was the greatest basketball player up until 1998, and it could have been like he fell off, but because we love Michael Jordan, he made more money from 1998 to now than he made his career when he was actually supposed to make the most money. Right? So for me, it's like we just have to allow black folks to change positions where we got to allow black folk to go from player to coach.
Facts.
Right?
Facts.
And player, coach, to owner also. We just got to allow the growth and the fall off. So when Dame stopped bringing up the fall off thing, he an ill nigga.
Yeah, for sure.
Yo, I ain't gonna lie to you. I'm being a
genius.
I ain't gonna lie to you. I think Dame is one of the illest niggas I've ever talked to because, you know, everybody's laughing. And he's like, why are they laughing, right? They don't even know what I'm doing.
Okay.
He told me some shit that I was so ill, I'll tell you off camera, that he was telling me. He was like, yo, look, bro, like, I'm playing the white man's game.
Yeah.
Nigga, nothing is in my name. Mm-hmm. You can't get me for nothing. So every nigga that's out here trying to sue me, keep going. I don't own shit.
1,000%.
And by the way, that's the Trump game, right?
So, that's the Trump game. That's the Rockefeller game, right?
Now,
they control everything.
But this is the part.
Yeah.
But niggas laugh.
Of course.
And that's what we got to stop doing. We got to stop laughing at a nigga educating us on how to deal with the devil.
Absolutely. 1,000%.
And that's all I would say about Dame. We got to allow niggas to be in different positions.
And you know, and I'm glad that you said that because I think it is so sickening that in our community, we look to like we take joy in the downfall of us.
Our community is the only community that laughs at effort.
Like how does that make sense? Like how do we take joy? Like and I think Hope said this, right? Hope says that we have a weird relationship with success.
Yeah.
First they loved you, then they hate you, now they love you again. Like we have this weird relationship where if we're starting out and you're struggling and I'm on the rise, everybody's behind you. But once you make it, it almost feels like now you're the op. Now you're the enemy.
I'm going to tell you why. As one of those people that was once a hater.
Yeah.
I was one of the people that was once. No, I'm being real with you. Like, this is why I know I'm ill.
Yeah.
Like, when I didn't have no direction, I hated too. When I didn't know what I was going to do in my life, of course I hated on the nigga that was playing basketball. Nigga, y'all born 6'4", motherfucker.
Right.
Nigga, I wished of course you. So I understand it, but here's why they do it.
Yeah.
They're doing it because they don't think you could do it, but they don't want you to laugh in their face. So they tell you in your face, you can do it.
Copy.
And then you do it, and then they're like, well, damn, at least I told him he could do it. But then eventually the real feelings show up. Eventually, Ash, you got to buy another car? Mm. Damn, bro, I thought you was happy with what I was doing. You start sensing the hate.
Yeah.
So that's what it is.
Yeah, no, I get that. I get that. And it's funny because I also believe that, you know, a lot of people want what you have, but they're not willing to do what you're willing to do for it, right?
Yep.
So, like, behind the scenes, like, I know, like, we, you know, salute to our brother Mike. We got the same business manager.
Yep.
Like, I know how hard you work.
And I know how hard you work.
You know what I'm saying? And so a lot of times people don't see that though, right? They only see what you post. And so when people think that, yo, I see Ash pop up in this, or he's doing this, or I see Ray doing that, it's like, but nah, do you understand what I'm putting
in? And that's my point. And the people that don't understand are the people who are sitting on the sideline laughing.
Yeah.
Let me explain something to you. No one that has ever tried will laugh at you.
Mm, that's a fact.
If someone has tried, they will not laugh at you. There's a famous saying. The only difference between ordinary and extraordinary is extra.
Facts.
And we are the only community that hates extra. Oh, you got to be extra. Why you got to do so much? Why you trying? It's like, bro, we literally, our community is an oxymoron because we say black excellence, but we laugh at it before it gets there. So for me, it's like, that's what I'm trying to tell people like me. Like, hey, nigga, they don't give a fuck. They're going to laugh at you no matter what. So go, keep going. And then you'll get to a room where they're not laughing no more.
Facts.
Then you realize, damn, I literally live in a different world from people that I grew up with. It's like our worlds are so different because, not because of the money I have, but because of the people I talk to. Yeah. I'm talking to Mike's.
Yeah.
I'm talking to Ashcast. I'm talking to 19 Keys. I'm talking to people who are getting busy.
Exactly, yeah.
I'm not talking to somebody who's on the corner talking about somebody else doing.
Yeah.
What the last time you sat around and talked what somebody else was doing if it wasn't involving strategy for us?
That's a fact, though.
We don't even do that.
I don't even do
But that's what we do in the hood all day.
Right.
Man, that nigga got more money than him. Yeah, yeah. He bigger than him. You don't know. And it's like, dog, while y'all arguing, they out there getting more money.
Getting more money.
I didn't want to argue no more. I wanted to be one of the niggas that they was arguing about.
Fact.
He ain't really got it. He really got it. I'd rather be that dude than the dude that's in that argument.
Fact.
Straight
up. So talk to me a little bit about, like, now, so you've sold hundreds of millions of records, right?
Yeah, we've done millions of records, bro. It's a good life,
right? Good life. I understand the game, so I know there's residuals, there's income coming in. But you're at a space now when you think about the music business today, and you think about the music business when you got in. What does an artist have to do today to be successful?
You have to be the business.
Mm.
There was a point in time where, you know, if the music business was a building, it was the Empire State Building. And if Ash, Ray, or anybody who was in there let you in, you was in the game.
Yeah.
Now, you know, the Empire State Building is empty and it's surrounded by a whole bunch of smaller buildings. And you have to be one of those smaller buildings as an artist. You have to have your own CEO, which is your manager. You better have a CFO, which is your business manager. You better have an assistant. You better have everything together because that building, they don't house anybody anymore.
Yeah.
They just let people sit next to them because they're a big attraction. Everybody going to see the Empire State Building, right? And they're going to see the buildings around it, and that's how you're going to get your business. So if you want to win in today's music business, you have to be and do everything. Or you have to be incredibly good at two things, and that is making music, number one, and somehow telling the story of the music you make through content. If you could do those two things, great. And by the way, you got to be realistic. Great.
Yeah.
I think that you can have a okay manager, okay whatever, and you'll still win because eventually the good people will come.
Facts.
It's like how I met you.
Yeah.
Somebody told me somebody was working on your pod. They told me they could help mine get to where yours is. I'm like, yo, Ash is killing it. I do it. And then I find out they ain't do nothing for you.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Guess what? Now we got the same who? Because that's how the world works. The world works in your favor when you're trying.
Yep.
That's why I say our community loses because we laugh at effort. And the only reason why you and I are up here is because what we do every day is give effort.
Absolutely. 1,000%.
Simple.
1,000%. 1,000%. And so talk about, you have this concept, right? The four artist agreements.
Yes. So I wrote a book called The Four Artist Agreements.
Yeah.
And the reason why I did it was because, first of all, my executive coach challenged me. One day she said, Ray, I'm going to give you an exercise. I want you to write down four things that you want every artist to know about the music business. You made your own rules. And I was like, okay. So I did it. And I just, you know, I wasn't even thinking about it, did it. And then I was reading it to her just next week, teacher, like, and she's like, Ray, this is good. And I was like, this is good, right? And she like, this need to be a book. Right. She's like, yeah, it should be. I'm like, I'm going to write a book. And I went and hired an author.
Yeah.
I wrote the book. And then I really believe it is, if you think The God Show and anything, I think that this book is the greatest value offer I've ever given to any business.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the agreements are accept you our product. Define your product. No, accept you our product, define your product. The last one is always be thankful. And the third one is commit to the process. Mm-hmm. And the way I wrote it in a way where if you are the CEO of a major label, you want every artist you sign to read it. And if you are a mother whose kid wants to be in music, you want them to read it. I wrote it to the 14-year-old Ray. And it's broken down in a very easy, scientific way to win in music. And I've had people read it. I would love for you to read it. I have people read it.
You read it already.
Oh, you did? Oh, see, that's why you like it then. Okay, I sent it to you. So, yeah, so everybody read it. It was like, it helps them with their branding. It helps them with how they look at it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so you know what it is. Yeah. Like, it's giving you a perspective on music that's relatable to everybody.
Yeah.
Because I feel like sometimes when you want to dream, you know, you're like, man, it's so big up there. You walk in all, I don't want to mess it up.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Up and you just realize, dog, it's not that big. It's right here in front of you. Just be yourself and go in and do it like this and you'll win. And that's what it was.
Yeah. And so speaking of that though, right, you make a bold statement in the book and you kind of mentioned that. You say you are not a person. You are the product.
You are a product.
Why is that mindset so crucial for today's artists?
Great question. I'm glad you read the book. I'm excited to talk to you, man. I forgot this is what it's about. You know what it is? It's I've been in a room with so many artists that have said, I'm human. No, the fuck you're not. You're not human. You're just like this microphone. You're just like that camera that we're on. We are here to sell it. So if you want to be human, then you should go home. Beyonce is not human. You don't think Beyonce gets hurt? You don't think Beyonce cries or gets hurt? That's not a part of her brand, right? When you heard Beyonce, Beyonce is like, you must not know about me. I could have another you in a minute, nigga. That's her brand. Adele is like, I pray I find someone like you. Same concept. So what you have to figure out is how to define your product in the system and put it out. So Drake is a product. Like if Drake made a record called F the Police, people would be like, what is he doing? Drake just had a run-in with the police yesterday. He mad at them. He won't make a song. But that's not the product you are used to getting from you. You don't say F the Police, Drake. You rap to girls. You rap to party. So it's like you are a product. You just understand now. Like it's like if you take your wife shopping and you take her to, you know, Burlington Coat Factory, she know what it is compared to if you take her to Louis.
Right.
Like, we're going to get something, but it's going to look nice, but one is way more. You know? So it's like it's really just setting the stage for what this is. Yeah. And because when you accept that you are a product, the second rule is now let's define it. See, now what I just did was I just took Ash, the man, and pay Ash Cash, the character. So let's talk about the character Ash Cash and what they could do. Yeah. And that's defining the character, right? So accept that you are a product, define it, and then commit to the process. And here's how I started. I start the third chapter. If you ain't willing to go 10 years, every day of your life, committed to one thing like nothing and knowing that there is a big chance you won't get nothing on the other side of it, if you still want to go, this game is for you. If this game is for you, if you still want to go, that's what it is. Yeah. So that's what I mean by accept you're our product. Because it's like, bro, it's going to be a lot. You're going to hear shit about yourself. You're going to hear think people talking about you. You're going to get online and see people say you're whack and this. They're not talking about you.
Right. Yeah.
They're talking about the product you gave them.
Yeah.
So when I see people online saying this dude is dumb, this dude is this, I hate this dude. You're not talking about Raymond Charles Daniels. You're talking about Ray Daniels, the culture referee. And that's what I want you to talk about. He's there to be a referee. When you are a sports fan, right?
Yep.
Okay, cool. Like the Knicks.
Of course.
Okay, so nigga, hey, that referee called a play against us. What we doing?
Right.
Booing, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm a referee, guys. You're gonna boo sometimes. Exactly. Yeah. But I'm saying what I see.
Yeah, you got Knicks colors on too.
Thank you. Starts. Exactly. I'm representing.
And why, baby? No. No, but I love that you say that, right? Because I mean, you know, I battle with it all the time because I, a lot of times, like even when I don't listen to the comments or listen to what people have to say. I know the lives that I saved. I know the people that I help. Sometimes though, the person gets upset when somebody who's not in the ring is critiquing. But to your point, I always remember that I'm the product. They don't know me.
But not only that, and I am a coach.
Yeah.
I'm the dude that coached the dude that's won in the ring. So that's why I talk about it with so confidence. So yeah, I might offend you, but did I say anything? I didn't call you out your name.
Mm-hmm.
All I did was say what I saw. I would never disrespect nobody, but I will tell the truth because I feel like people, maybe the world don't need it, but people like me need the truth.
Fact.
People like me need the truth. Like, mate, I'm not a person that you got to lie to. I'm not a person that don't tell me I'm handsome if I ain't handsome.
Right.
Call me ugly. I'd rather you tell me ugly to my face before, because I can fix ugly.
Right.
But if I walk around here thinking I'm handsome and the whole room is laughing at my ugly ass, who's the only friend in the room? The friend in the room is going to pull you to the side and be like, everybody think you're ugly.
Yeah. Right.
Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Now I can go fix myself.
Right.
That's a real friend. Not a motherfucker that's going to not tell you the truth. So I consider myself a real friend to the game. I'm telling y'all what y'all need to fucking hear, whether you like it or not.
Whether you like it or not. In the world of, viral moments, TikToks, you believe, right? You believe that most artists are unprepared for real career for real careers. Why do you believe that?
Man, I'm glad you brought that up. I think a lot of artists are no different than the people that I'm pretty sure come to you about their dream, their business, their goal.
Yeah.
They really just want to make a little bit of money.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but they're not committed to like what I mean by that is like, you got artists that are coming in a room and say, I want to be McDonald's. And you'll be like, let's go. Yeah. You didn't know they was talking about one McDonald's. Right. You didn't know they was talking about the one or old national. You want to just be, I thought you wanted to be McDonald's. No, I want to be McDonald's. And that's what's happening with a lot of artists. They say they want to be stars until they realize the work that got to be put into it.
Yeah.
They say they want to be stars so they realize how much work they got to put in when ain't no cameras rolling.
Yeah.
They say that, and I'm like, bro, if you want to do this, you have to do this. If I'm selling a product, my goal should be, I should have one goal, to perfect it to the audience wants to buy it.
Absolutely.
And if you accept your product and you start defining it, you just figured out the number one thing artists need to figure out, which is your direction.
Yeah.
If you don't know where you're going, if you don't, I don't give a damn how good your manager is. I don't give a damn how much money you got behind you. I don't care how good your label is. If you don't know where you're going, you're not going to win.
Mm-hmm.
And if you know where you're going, you can have the worst manager, the worst label, the worst everything, and you'll still win. That's how important direction is.
Yeah.
And that's what that's what my book is about. It's about direction. It's saying, hey, look, I know you want to be in music and you want to read Donald Passer's book about what you need to know about the music business and the points and the royalties. None of that shit matters if you don't learn this first.
Yeah.
I didn't learn nothing about it. I didn't learn a pub deal was until I was doing one. I didn't know ASCAP or BMI gave advances until I was getting one. I didn't know about it until it was time for me to know.
Yeah.
And that's the problem I'm trying to tell people. Most of y'all are frustrated because y'all only know one thing.
Right.
No, fuck the business.
Right.
Nigga, if you hate the business, you hate yourself. Fix yourself and the business will follow to you.
Facts, yeah.
Simple as that. Ash, you don't feel like do you feel like you cosplaying?
No.
I don't either. I'm being myself. And it's working, right or wrong.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to get people to see.
But that's the other thing though, too. And I think that's why you're successful. I think that's why I'm successful, because the things that, like, I, like, at any moment, right? Like, if you think about, like, for instance, like, I'm in the financial education space, right? I don't care what nobody else is doing.
Come on.
I don't care, because at the end of the day, like, people know my voice. My voice is different from every other financial educator that's out there.
Yo.
And I'm okay knowing that I may not be the voice for it.
Yes. And by the way, I'm not saying I'm not be the voice for you. It's also saying I might be the product you want to buy.
Correct.
That's what I'm trying to get.
Well, that's what I'm
so listen, if it's not for them, you got to be okay. And that's what I want. Artists to get mad at. Artists will rap for you, and then you be like, it's terrible. Right. Like, imagine if Soulja Boy walked up to you and told me, I got this hit. Yeah. Soulja Boy, yo, finna hit, ho, watch me. You'd probably be like, okay, nigga.
Right.
He puts it out, it becomes a hit. Now everybody's Superman doing it. It's like,
right.
So that's why most artists are finessing. If you are an artist right now and you're waiting for someone like Ray or Dane or anybody to see you, and if you telling your family, if they see me, my life changing, you are the definition of 2025 hoop dreams. That's because you know they ain't going to see you. You know they ain't going to see you because you ain't doing the damn work.
Yeah.
Nigga, don't do the work.
Yeah.
And nigga, and by the way, here's the hard part. Once you do the work, they still might not care.
Yeah.
Then you got to go home, come back tomorrow, do more work, and they might not care.
Yeah.
You got to just keep coming back till they start caring.
Yeah.
And that's the game.
Yeah. You mentioned this something. You said 2005 version of Hoop Dreams. That's actually part of your story.
Yeah.
Right? So there's a part of your
story. You read the book for real. There's a part of your, you probably read the book. Hey, there's a part of your story when a girl calls you a hoop dreamer in my life.
Yeah, how did that shape your value?
So
your
drive? So I'm a real Atlanta nigga, right? Yeah. So this is what I gotta tell y'all about Atlanta. I don't know if y'all from Atlanta, but Atlanta niggas is players.
Yeah.
Like y'all see how Tracy T and Future handle their girl problems? Right. Like, we Atlanta niggas. The reason why I tell people, because there's so many women here that there'll always be somebody to pull up. Yeah. So I'm an Atlanta nigga. You know, I discover when I'm 18, the AU Center. Clark Spelman Morehouse. I meet a girl. I'm working at the airport pushing wheelchairs. I'm just a nobody. And then I discover this. I meet this girl, go to school down at Spelman. Then I'm walking around like all these girls out here. So I'm basically hanging out at the, that was my hangout spot on the weekend. I'll park my car and just go hang out on a college campus. I'm their age. Yeah. Nobody know I don't go here. Like, I'm fresh as hell. Yeah. I look like I got a dad with money on campus because I got a job. So I got nice clothes and everything. And I was messing with the, so I caught this. So it's really I made it the girl one person, but here's a real story. I caught this. So I was at Georgia State and I caught this girl on a Monday. I hit it Monday. And then Tuesday, she saw me outside the same place trying to catch another girl. And she just kind of gave me one of them looks like, oh, that's who you are. But she also knew I didn't go to school there because, you know, when I'm in her dorm, she's like, so what dorm you in? I'm like, oh, I don't go to, my cousin go to school here. My cousin didn't go to school here. I was making that shit up. Right. So anyway, right. So she basically sent me this text message like, yeah, you might have got some from me last night, but I'm going to college and I'm going to be somebody. And you ain't going to be, you 5 years or 3 years from now, you're going to be still here trying to miss hit girls.
Wow.
That hits me. So now I have a female friend that I'm hanging out with and she just annihilates me. Mm. And she was like, you know, I could let you live. I could tell you the truth. And I'm like, tell me the truth. Right. She's like, nigga, you a hoop dreamer. She was like, nigga, I'm on my junior year. What are you doing? What do you do with yourself all day? And I'm like, I work. So what are you telling girls you do? I don't know. Are you selling them on a promise or something? I mean, that's what men do. You tell her, you fuck with me, you know, I got it. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of a man thing. And she was like, nigga, you a hoop dreamer. Nigga, I'm going to see you 20 years now. You're going to be lost and I'm going to still be getting money. Wow. I have been looking. Her name is Nikki. She went to Morris Brown. I have been looking for her to give her a hug. Cause she might have just checked the nigga that night and don't even know. It's two people I'm looking for, her and this guy named Philip Pryor.
Yeah.
Well, three. Philip Pryor, who was my boss at Delta, and this guy named Mr. Kemp, who was my teacher at Banneker. I learned more from those three moments shaped my entire who I am as an adult. Like, just so I always wanted to just see him to tell him thank you for what they said to me.
Yeah. And I love the consistency of that, right? Because you're the person that says, yo, I need the truth.
Right.
Always. Right. Because the truth will help you fix that. And so while somebody else will probably look at the truth and be like, yo, she is a hater. Yo, she tried to, you know, crush my dreams. And I want to show her like I did it. But at the end of the day, I want to thank you.
Let me tell you something.
Bless my life.
The greatest thing someone can give you is the truth.
Facts. I agree.
Like, just tell me the truth.
Yeah.
And by the way, their truth might not be the world truth.
Yeah.
It could just be the truth based on what they see.
Yeah.
But if they see something that you don't see, that little something can change your entire world.
Yeah.
So to me, like, that's why I'm like a truth teller. Like, whether you, and by the way, to answer your question about how do I do it, I don't know how I'm gonna be received. Like,
yeah.
I don't care.
Right.
Because I tell any artist, once you jump off the porch, you can't focus on what the audience is saying. You gotta focus on what, you gotta chase your side, your greatness, and that's how you win.
Right.
And that's what I've been doing.
And so now, right, because she said, look, 20 years, you're not going to be nothing. 20 years, you at the top of the top. When I think about what you're doing, you built like a, you know, multi-million dollar business. You built Radar, you know, into one of the most respected, you know, platforms in music. What's your long-term vision?
They say if you tell God your plan, you want to make a laugh, tell me your plan. So for me, my vision is more of a direction. My direction is just So how do I explain it? Like, it's this movie. Anybody know me? Know I reference movies. Mm-hmm. It's this movie called Pleasantville. Okay, so the movie starts off in black and white, mm-hmm. right? The whole movie's black and white. And yep. then this woman, and it's a town called Pleasantville. Mm-hmm. And this woman comes to town, and she's in color. Mm-hmm. And everybody's looking like, this woman's in color. And everything she touches or encounters turns to color. Mm-hmm. So you can start going around town and realize, like, oh, that's color. She must have been here, right? Mm-hmm. So for me, I want everything I touch to feel, to turn into color. So if you heard me, I want to change the way you see things, give it a more vivid picture so you can actually see it for what it is and not what the world told you or wanted it to
be. Yeah, man, that's such a great, because I used to work at Blockbuster Video, so I still Pleasantville, and that's such a great analogy, because I think that, you know, a lot of times, again, to your point, this level of authenticity is missing, right? Because that's the one thing that I see in the music industry that I don't like today, because back when I don't know if, you know, I want to say the Dipset era, the Lil Wayne era, that's what blended it, because back in the day, I could look at you and be like, that's, he from New York, he from Atlanta, he from Chicago, he from here. And then there was a moment in the early 2000s where you turn on the television and I do not know where you're from. Everybody looks the same, right? Everybody's in black and white.
The internet.
Right? It mixed the culture. Like, there's no culture. Like, everybody sounds the same. I was hearing New York drill, and I'm like, is this Chicago or is this New York? Like, there was so much the blending, right? So in that type of world, right, in that type of world, and so there's a lot of smokes and mirrors. Like, how do you, Ray Daniels, stay authentic, right? How do you keep your integrity intact?
When you are authentic, your spirit irritates fake people.
Oh, that's
the my people don't know, my favorite thing to do in life is to people watch.
Yeah.
Like, I love watching people. Bro. Yeah. Like, I'm a Virgo. Like, Michael Jackson's a Virgo. He's people watch. Like, I just like watching people because you can learn from them.
Yeah.
You can learn their habits. You can, like people, watching people shows you the unconscious version of themselves. Mm. Because I could ask, like, I could see you and be looking at you and be like, oh, this guy's having a bad day. I could tell. And then I could go and be like, how's your day going? It's good.
Yeah.
It's like, nigga, it's not.
Right.
I could read it and tell you. So for me, I just like the people watch so I can understand them. And what was your question? I'm sorry, I want to make sure I get to it.
Yeah, so how do you stay authentic?
Well, okay, perfect.
And how do you keep your integrity intact?
Well, I'm myself.
Yeah.
And I will feel lame being anything but myself.
Mm.
Like, I feel lame being anything but Ray. Mm. I talk to myself 24/7, 365. Mm. And I'll say to myself, Ray, why'd you do that?
Mm.
You know that was lame. Then it's like, damn, I shouldn't have done that. That's why I can admit, like, I shouldn't have said that about Dame. And there's a lot of people like, yeah, nigga, he got your ass. I'm like, nigga, you watching a human learn and admit he's learning. What's greater than that?
Exactly.
What's a better example than that?
Exactly.
That's why we don't like Donald Trump. Because he just won't admit. If he just said, I fucked up, I think people will like him more.
Yeah.
But he just won't admit.
Yeah.
I said that. I shouldn't have said that. Yeah. And to me, I think that's what people want. And to answer your question, even with you paying attention to what's going on with TV right now, how TV is dying, how everything is dying, that's because people are tired of fake.
Facts.
They just want to feel like it's real. So it's I honestly, man, the internet is way more interesting than TV.
That's a fact.
What they say, fiction is more, fact is more interesting than fiction.
Yep. And so, what do you want your legacy to be? Not just in music, but in the culture. Like when 50 years from now, 100 years from now, when they talk about Ray Daniels, what do you want that legacy to be?
I want people to be able to say, you know how they say, I want people to say, I met Ray. Here's how I look at myself. I am, you are, those guys over there behind the camera, everybody over there, we are all on the yellow brick road of life. And we're looking for the whiz. Yeah. And most of the time, and what I want to be is someone who's on that road that you run into and tell you, ain't no goddamn whiz, it's a lie.
Yeah.
I know they want you to be that to be the movie, but the nigga's a liar. Let me tell you, you go get it, but let me just give you some game.
Yeah.
The courage he's going to give you, it took to find him. The brains that you're praying for, that it took those brains to find them. That's the mind fuck. Is you like, stop chasing, stop trying to qualify with people. Do you believe? And if you believe and you are honest with yourself, that's all you should have, and go with that. So my legacy is just telling people, I don't want you to listen to Ray. I don't want you to listen to Ash Cass. I want you to listen to you.
You, facts.
What do you believe? Because I am living my life, my bank account, my life, my everything I have is based on how I think.
Facts.
Everything I have is based on you think, and everything you have is based on how you think.
Yeah.
So stop looking at me trying to find holes in my shit and just pick what you like out of what I'm saying and focus on incorporating that to who you are and go win, baby.
Facts. Speaking of bank accounts, you've made millions of dollars in this business, in business, period. What is the biggest money lesson you've learned, and what is the biggest money mistake that you've made?
Money lesson
I
learned is learn about money.
Hmm.
Even because money scares us. Money is like love. No one wants to fumble it. So it's like no one wants to be like, man, you had $10 million and now you're back in the hood. No one wants to hear that. So I think because no one wants to hear that, think about it. Subconsciously, you don't want to fuck it up. Subconsciously means you don't want it. So the first thing just being honest, right? So it's like the first mistake I made is like learn about it. Don't be afraid of it. Mm. If you plan on having a lot of it, then you should learn as much about it as you can.
Right.
And that's what I didn't want to do.
Right.
And I'll say the biggest money mistake I made was, it was two. Two lessons that I learned in music. And I can, if you don't mind, I'll share it.
Yeah.
So the first one was this song that we did on the Pussycat Dolls, When I Grow Up. I don't know if you know that. When I grow up, I want to be famous. I want to be a star. I want to do movies, which was actually written for Britney Spears. Mm. That's why the lyric goes, but be careful what you wish for because you just might get it. Because this is around the time where Britney was like cutting the hair off and everything else. So we make the record. The story is so good. So we make the record, and this is the second. So here's what's happening, right? So in order for us to get in the music business, we make this record for Nicole Scherzinger named Supervillain. Supervillain changed our life. That song made us $1.5 million and it never came out. Mm. And never did nothing.
Wow.
But Jimmy loved it so much that, and Jimmy was he's the man, right? So every time you walk in Jimmy's office, he's like, let me play this Nicole single.
And he's
playing our record, our demo. And everybody's like, are they published? Who are they? So people publishers meeting with us like, play us the record Jimmy loves. We playing it. They offered to publish it there. We signed it. So anyway, now fast forward, we working with Rodney Jerkins. Shout out to Rodney. He taught me this lesson. We doing When I Grow Up. And Rodney is like, who could do this? I'm going to send it to Britney. And then I'm going to also send it to our A&R, Erica Grayson. We send it to Erica. Erica says it to Jimmy. Jimmy calls Rodney. I'll never forget. It was like a Saturday. It was like a Friday or Saturday. It was like Saturday. So Jimmy calls Rodney. And Jimmy is like, I want the record. No, but Erica calls me. And she's like, Jimmy wants the record. And I was like, nah. But I was saying no because we gave Nicole Scherzinger a Supervillain and it didn't go. So I'm like, we're going to get Nicole another record? Like, nah, let's give it to Britney. Like, and then she was like, Jimmy wants it. So I never forget. So she was like, well, Jimmy wants it, and that's it. So I called Rodney Jerkins. And Rodney was like, I'm going to handle it. And I was like, yeah, you handle it. That nigga Jimmy Iovine sent Rodney Jerkins and his family a private jet, flew them, moved them from Orlando to L.A., bought them a house, studio, and everything off of our record. The lesson that I learned is, Ray, you talk for your shit, too.
Wow.
Because if I would have said no, Jimmy would have been like, pick them up. But Jimmy felt like, well, they're going to do it. And that's how Rodney, you know, that's that. So here's the second lesson. Second lesson is, and the lesson that I learned is speak for yourself. The second biggest mistake was Miley Cyrus. So we get a phone call. They go meet, work with Miley Cyrus. And this is Hannah Montana. And nigga, we go to the studio to see Miley. And it was like a movie, right? First of all, She is really who she is. Like, that is not her being fake. He walked, what's up, bro? Like, I'm like, I'm still like, this hand in my fucking Tana.
Right.
So, you know, we cut two songs that day. Never forget, we cut 23. The hook goes, I'm in the club, high up perp with some shades on, tatted up mini skirt with some J's on. So we do that record.
Mm-hmm.
And then we did this record called We Can't Stop. So she cuts both of those records the same day. And I'm in, and by the way, they called Juicy J and Wiz Khalifa. They come get on the record, 23. Miley Cyrus in there smoking weed. Nigga dancing on the couches. Nigga, I'm like,
somewhere in America.
Nigga, no, nigga, listen, watch this. This is after that. So watch this. So I'm in the room and I'm like, this white girl. Because, you know, in L.A. it's different. Like, in Atlanta, we don't really mention the white folks like that here. Like, we might, but if we mix up, we got to work with you. But we ain't just hanging out with white folks in Atlanta. Like, we a black city. So, you know, in L.A., the black guys dealt with the white girl. It's just a different. Yes. So I don't know how they do it. So we in the studio, they turning up. And I'm like, and Molly, and at the time, and it's not no secret, but at the time, Molly and Mike were like an item. Mike mm-hmm. Will, right? And that's our boy. So mm-hmm. I'm watching Mike Will, like, throw her the blunt, like, roll that shit up. Like, she just like a chicken Atlanta. Like, like this, she ain't worth $200 million. He's like, yo, roll the blunt for everybody. I'm like, she's rolling up, dancing the show. I'm like, so Mike Will walks us outside, and he's like, yo, I'm doing a project. Y'all should come do it with me. And we was like, yeah. And then we walked off, and I was like, nigga, we ain't going back. I'm like, nigga, we are not going to be the niggas that kill Hannah Montana for America. But what I didn't know was that Miley was going to own it the way she did.
Yeah.
And we had three songs in that little moment, but we would have had every song. And that was when I was like, you know, walk, I'm like, man, America ain't going to hate us for killing their sweetheart. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, right. She losing her mind. They like, right. It was them. They gave her bad drugs. Right. I didn't want to be a part of that. So I was like, nah, I'm straight. And then, you know, she winds up, I mean, we did really good from it. We got this. We had the first single and we had the 23, which went triple platinum. But we could have had the whole project and probably had a better relationship with her. But I just was kind of like, because in Atlanta, you know, we don't get down like that. Like, hey, you get your ass whipped.
Right.
Hang around too many black girls acting, you know, dancing and shit. Hey, that beat your ass. So I didn't want to hurt her.
Right.
And I didn't go back. And it was like, fuck, I should have went back. But, you know, lessons learned.
Yeah.
I learned.
But you know, full circle, though, that lesson also, when you think about who you are now,
it really
transcends that.
That's my point.
Yeah.
It's kind of why I talk the way I do.
Exactly.
Because if somebody was talking, because remember, the way I came up, I didn't believe what nobody said
because
I thought nobody saw me.
Right.
So, nigga, you probably telling me that for you. You telling me that for you.
Right.
You're not telling me that for me.
Right.
So I had to figure it out for myself. And once I did, I was like, man, I'm going to really start sharing these stories because it's authentic, it's real, and no one can lie. No one can say, by the way, as much as I'm talking, has anybody from the music business ever refute anything?
That's a psycho. That's a fact. Yeah.
That's because I'm talking the way the CEO of the label they signed. That's how we talk in the rooms when anybody around. We be like, that nigga ain't gonna win.
Yeah.
And then he win, be like, damn, nigga, you was wrong. You was stupid. Like, yo, my bad. But the world didn't see. You know, I just do it publicly and the world sees and I'm kind of good at it. Yeah. So it's working.
You gotta respect that though, too. Because again, I think that there's people are afraid to give their opinion. They're afraid to be wrong. They're afraid to fumble in front of people, and that they're afraid of the transition. They're afraid to show the public, yo, I'm doing this now. They're afraid of that.
Greatness has one goal,
yeah.
And you can never be afraid to go after it.
That's a fact.
Like, it has one goal. Like, yeah. If you're chasing greatness, the last thing you care is about any opinion on earth.
Facts.
Unless it's your coach who's coaching you or like a teacher who's teaching you. But if you're chasing greatness, like, greatness has, like, I don't care. Listen, you know, I like sports over music because, you know, we have the LeBron MJ argument, but you've never heard a Michael Jordan Dominique Wilkins argument.
Facts.
And Dominique is a great, but you never heard that argument, right? And the reason why is because the sports is finite. Once it's over, it's over.
Right.
And music, we can come back tomorrow.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, the Super Bowl is over. We got to stop, right. 6 months, start a new season. Music, on the other hand, is perpetual. It's not going.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like the only thing that separates the two. But, like, I'm doing that now. Like, I predicted clips first week. I was like, I think they're going to do this. And, nigga, it was a big deal on the internet. Everybody was like, Ray Daniels said. I'm like, damn, they see me. But that takes balls to put. Because if you say you're an expert,
right,
and you put your shit out there and then, ha ha, stupid ass nigga, we do. It's like, so it's, but Jason Lee taught me this. Jason Lee said, he said that, and he got this for Floyd. That's what made me go to greatness, because Floyd is great.
Yeah.
And Jason said, Floyd told him, stop worrying about what they think about you. They're not going to fuck with you anyway. Mm. And when Jason told me that, I thought about it. I'm like, so I don't care if you don't like me. I got my people right there. As soon as I leave here, I'm going home.
Bye.
And I'm going to wake up tomorrow. I'm going to go to my office and work. I might pull up with you, the old boy stuff, anything. Mm-hmm. But, like, even then, I'll pull up with somebody. Like, I'm not a nigga that just goes places.
Yeah, yeah, fact.
I'm not a nigga because I don't know how I might get greeted. And I'm still who I am.
Right.
And I got niggas with me. It's like, yo, it could go bad. Right. So I'm like, I'll come when you want me to.
Facts.
So at least I can say, if somebody asks me what you're doing here, I was invited.
Facts, absolutely.
By him right there, that's how I cover my ass. But if you don't invite me, I ain't coming.
Yeah, yeah. My last question.
Go ahead.
Is there anything that I did not ask you that you want to leave, like a gem or something you want to leave with our audience?
No, but if I can leave a gem with you guys, it's something that I say, and I think Inside the Vault is the best place. I did a video that kind of went viral. I'll do it here. If you double a penny, 30 times, you get $157. If you take a penny and you double it 15 times, you get $167. If you double it 15 more times, you get $5.3 million. Most of y'all are losing because y'all are trying to get everything on the front end. The front end is where you put in the work. The back end is where you get paid. That's why it's called the back end.
And it's funny because one of my mentors says that amateurs get paid on the front end.
You told me that. Yes, yes, amateurs get paid on the back end.
And that's the truth because also, and this kind of ties it all in about the belief system, is that the reason why most people want to get paid in the front end because they don't really believe, right? To your point, you say, yo, if you're not willing to go 10 years with the thought process that this thing might not work, then you don't really believe. And it's those people, and the truth of the matter is, even if the fact that you say that I'm willing to put 10 years in and not get something out of it, and you're signaling to the universe that you believe, and I don't believe that, I don't even think it's possible for you not to be successful.
And the universe will reward you.
Reward you.
Because you have to believe it's real.
Yeah.
And that's the dog. I forgot that's your statement. Like, amateurs on the front end, professional on the back end. And there cannot be worry and faith in the same place.
That's a fact.
So for me, when I'm worrying, because I'm human, I worry, I immediately go to God. I'm like, God, well, I'm worried because of this. I talk to him. I give it to him, and I allow it to be what it's going to be. But, man, the one thing I will say is, man, this is the most beautiful journey ever.
Absolutely. And you look like you're having fun, brother. I think I am. So here's what I'll say, though, too, is the Ray Daniels y'all see on the camera is actually the same Ray Daniels you see behind the scenes.
I'm fun.
Very fun. I don't know if you show this, but I don't know if they know how much you love your team, your family, your friends. Like, that's the one thing that I appreciate about you. Yeah. I think that's the one thing that... I don't care how people treat me.
Yeah.
I always watch how people treat the people around them because I know at this stage in the game, I'm somebody, right? And so it's cool. Like, I get certain treatments or whatever, but I always pay attention to, how does Ray treat his team?
Yeah.
How does Ray treat his family?
I love
that. That's the one thing that I really, because I'm a family. You know what I'm saying?
I already, and old boy ain't.
Right.
That was between, and that was my biggest issue was, like, 100%. Family. Over everything to me. That is literally, I cannot wait to work. I can't wait to bring money home.
Facts.
To give my kids, like, facts. That's all I am.
It's so funny. I was watching one of your videos. Like, it put a smile on my face, man. You was talking to your mother.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like, the way you love on your mother, your children. Like, the way you love on your family is just... It's just dope. You know what I'm saying? And again, it says a lot about a man's character.
It's a man... Listen, if more men... And that's another thing I know. More men love their families and their significant others and just everybody in life like we did. The black community would be so much better.
Absolutely.
The biggest thing that hurts us is our attitudes towards each other.
I agree.
And my thing is like, hey, my nigga, I didn't do it.
Yeah.
He didn't do it. No one did it. And by the way, you didn't do it to me.
Yeah.
But let's leave our shit outside.
Yeah.
And let's come clean and figure out and get what we want. And that's all. That's what I mean by seeking. Just seek. Just go figure it out.
Yeah.
Just go learn it and stop thinking that it's not for you and just try it. And by the way, if you laughing at someone's effort, you'll never try.
That's a fact.
And that's why I don't laugh at nobody.
That's a fact.
Because I know how hard it is to try.
Facts. Yo, we finally did it, yo. We are closing out the vault.
Man, we got so much. By the way, we got so much shit going on. Like, my
facts,
God.
Facts.
It's so funny because we met. This is the beauty of life. We met because we both do the same thing.
Yeah.
But that ain't even the nature of what we do. It is like, so when you hit me about inside of all, I was like, oh, yeah. Of course. It was kind of like,
yeah.
I ain't did that yet. I mean, we hang out. It's like, no, it's like showing up. So I appreciate you having me.
And I publicly say this though, is that the divine, we all, God fearing men, nobody can't stop divine alignment.
Man.
You know, because the one thing out there, we talk about, our mutual connection.
Yeah.
And the one thing that I will say is, at one point, once I found, like I said, I knew you before the God
show. For sure.
And so once I found out that, you know, you were working with, you know, my old business partner, on the show, I was disappointed.
Yeah.
Right?
And I didn't know that. Okay, great.
You know,
sure.
But I wasn't disappointed because I'm like, damn, he's messing with him. I was disappointed because I thought that because of that, you and I wouldn't connect.
And it's also like because of who, if you work with that person,
yeah,
then you might not get along with the type of person I am.
Yeah.
And the reality is people like that are only where they are because the one thing that he has is the balls to say what he wants.
Absolutely.
And that's what I'm telling everybody. You just got to just have balls. Just but
balls, yeah.
If you're a good person,
yeah, yeah.
You like I tell people, like, you cannot be great
yeah.
if you're not grateful.
Yeah, facts.
Greatness yeah. does not, you have to be grateful to get to greatness. And he wasn't.
Yeah.
And you are.
Yeah.
And I am. And yeah. that's why the world of wars is the way to do because we show our gratefulness by how we love,
yeah.
how we share, how we yeah. teach. It's like, yeah. this is me being grateful.
Yeah, absolutely.
I want to show up for you.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
And, you know, when you think about the divine alignment, it's like, you know, I'm disappointed because I truly was like, yo, I rock with this dude. I would love to connect with him. But in my head, I'm like, this would never happen.
Right? God had other plans.
So, but think about this, right? The irony that on his way out,
yes,
I bump into Chaz.
Yes.
On his way out,
yep.
I bump into the new person.
Yes.
Who says, yo, you know Ray Daniels? You never been on a God show? I said, because in my head, I don't know. I'm like, I don't know if y'all are having
me. And that's how I handle the music. It's like, Ray, you want to go to this party? If they'll have me, but if not, I'm fine where I'm at.
Yeah.
Love that you said that.
Yeah, so. So
look, well, listen, bro. Anytime. You got to come on. That's debatable. Like, yes, though, we could do. Yes, like, sir. I love talking to you because I feel better leaving.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Now,
take that. Like, bro.
Thank likewise. You. Let's go.
Yo, we are closing out the vault. Listen, y'all, another powerful episode of Inside the Vault, the greatest money mindset show on the planet. Y'all going to have to rewind this because Ray dropped a lot of gems. Make sure. When that book dropped, y'all got to get it because we got to sell it.
No. Me and you got something going on the side.
Millie like Bangladesh. You know what I'm saying?
We
got to do a Millie. That's one of the things that, I told him this behind the scenes. I was like, man, like one of my goals is, you know, y'all know I'm a publisher. It's like I, you know, help with books. I've published 20 books myself. You know, that's one thing I say, yo, I want to help somebody sell a million books. And Ray was like, yo.
I want to do it. And I'm telling you, I have two books that I have to get out.
Yeah.
We got to talk. Let's go.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to it. If people don't know where to find you, where can they find you?
At Ray Daniels everywhere. I think TikTok is Ray.Daniels, but you'll see me.
Yeah, that's it.
Let's go.
Mr. Viral himself, Mr. you know, culture, the culture's referee.
Let's go.
Closing out the vault. Make sure y'all visit us inside the vault. InsideTheVaultShow.com. Follow us everywhere at Inside the Vault. Me, I am Ash Cash. Make sure you visit me, IamAshCash.com. Join the abundance community by going to TheAbundanceCommunity.com. I will see y'all next time, same place, in God's will. Peace.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary, while supplies last. Tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.